Are we the snowflake generation? Is romance dead? Is social media turning our brains to mush? Is chivalry sexist? Welcome to 20s Questions. Join me, Francesca McClement, as I set out to talk to young people from different countries, continents, and backgrounds about what it's like to be a young person in this day and age. Hello everyone, I am back and I'm excited because I'm in London, one of my favourite cities, with one of my favourite people. This week's guest is special for many reasons. We're both half Italian, half British, we're both called Francesca, and in the terms of this podcast, she's came up with the name of this podcast, 20s Questions. Gotta give credit where it's due, eh?
Long time listener, even longer time friend, I am so excited to be here.
Cute, yeah, you are the number one fan of the podcast.
I really, really am.
Yeah, no, it's so good to be here, and honestly, so good to be back in London.
Welcome, big smoke.
Post-lockdown.
Are we actually still in lockdown? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
So done with it that I actually have no idea anymore.
Yeah, I think it's like, we're in the like awkward in-between phases of unlockdown.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
I think it's like, because this time we're reopening gradually, I don't really know where the line is.
Yeah. So I'll say your full name, just so everyone knows. Francesca Tarrant Cantale. Your mum is Italian.
She
and
is.
And your dad is British. Same as me, so yeah. Our namesake though, let's talk about that because I feel like I have a correction to make from episode 2. My mum got quite annoyed because I sort of dissed St. Francis and she was not impressed. And basically, I've done my homework now and I stand corrected. He is the patron saint of animals and the environment and apparently can be viewed as the original Earth Day advocate. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And we did recently celebrate Earth Day.
Yeah, exactly. And we had no idea that our names meant that. And I thought he was irrelevant, so...
Did you not know he was patron saint of animals?
No.
I knew that.
Oops. I did not.
Every year I get a text from like everyone on the Italian and Spanish side of my family being like, Buon onomastico,
yeah,
which is like
too.
Happy name day. I'm like, hey, I still don't know what date it is. I just wait for their text.
But if it was on Earth Day, it would be like, it would be more logical.
Yeah, I think it's in like October or something.
Yeah, it's very far away from Earth Day, so I never realised that the two were like kind
but
of
I
related.
Do like thinking of that Earth Day connection.
Yeah, no, that is cool. So you're global markets analyst at a big bank.
Yeah.
And you're one of the few women. But I feel like knowing you, it doesn't really take a big toll on you. As in, you take it really in your stride, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on a grad scheme in global markets, and our grad scheme is like 50% women, 50% men, and like they're very conscious of making sure that they're hiring. However, I'm hired as a trader within global markets, so there's sort of like trading, sales, research, and then like a couple of other factions of global markets. And in terms of the traders, I think it's like 9 guys and 2 girls or 8 guys and 2 girls, which is a way more what people think of when they think of finance type ratio. And you do, like, it is noticeable on the trading floor. Like, there aren't any other girls sat in my row. Whichever team I rotate onto, it's me and like 1 or 2 other girls out of 10, 15 traders. It definitely doesn't faze me.
Yeah.
I think.
Because you've told me before that you've been in like meetings and you've been the only woman.
Yeah.
In
well, actually, like the bank I work at has actually got this new initiative that like if it's a meeting and there's more than 3 people, I think, and there's like not a woman in the room, then that meeting shouldn't happen.
Well, that's good. That's
which
good.
Is sort of like, it's a bit like of a PR way of phrasing it, but yeah. It's quite an interesting perspective to think like that there might be some meetings where there is just no female representation and there could be like 10 men in the room. So it's quite a good sort of like check, and all our sort of senior management are really pushing it, which I really like. But yeah, in terms of me, it doesn't bother me. I went to a school for sick form where it was a boys' school that took girls into the sick form. So I'm quite used to that ratio being skewed. And in terms of work, I think you just have to take it. You have to take the advantages that come with that. in an era where they are pushing to have more girl traders, being one of two is probably really helpful to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's loads of, like, undercover stuff, and, like, there is still a sentiment among a lot of people that, like, girls can't trade and stuff like that. But you've got to take the good that comes with the bad and, like, accept that you can't really change the bad.
No, I think definitely, like, reap the advantages.
Exactly. I'm like, at the end of the day, like, if it makes it easier for me to have a job, fine.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I mean, I feel very comfortable around guys. I classically have that narrative with the friends, like, I like being friends with boys because there's less drama.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, yeah, I can understand why it would be difficult for some people, but for me, that's not been a huge issue.
I feel like something that's really cool about you as a person,
thank you.
I don't mean to, like, massively inflate your ego here, but you're really good at owning the space you're in, and, like, if you've got a voice, you're gonna stand up for it and you're not gonna take any shit, which is, yeah, really good.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah. No, I think that's, like, what you need to do in an industry like that anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely, you need to, like, know when the right time to stand up for yourself is. At the same time, like, there are times when that fight is not worth having, but there's also times, like, I've definitely been told that, like, I can't trade because I'm a girl.
People have said that to you.
Yeah, but, like, not management, like, like, interns and stuff like that.
People on the same level of you have said that.
Yes, people in my sort of peer group have.
What?
Yeah, so I had an experience, so that during my internship, it was, like, rotational, so you spend time on different desks, and I was about to move on to my second one. So I went over to their previous intern, who I hadn't really met much, and also, like, any sort of, like, first day advice before I joined the desk, is there anything I should read into, like, to get myself up to sort of, like, a good starting point? And he was like, oh no, like, not really, they'll teach you everything on the desk, but it doesn't really matter because you're a girl, and girls can't be traders anyway.
What?
I know, it was big, and that's 100% not the attitude across most people, and even if it had, but that, like, they would also never air it.
Our generation, you'd think that they'd be a bit more progressive than that.
But also, like, just smart enough to know that's not something you can say. It's a double whammy. Like, first of all, quite shocking to have that view, but second of all, to be bold enough to actually voice it.
Like, yeah, it takes another level of arrogance to say something like that.
It's absolutely outrageous, and quite frankly, like,
what did you say?
I think I sort of just, like, at the time, I think I was so in shock that I don't think I called him out on it, but I went over to my friend who sat very near, sort of like a very senior member of staff that was very big on promoting women, and I was like, do I want to be the intern that, like, raises a huge HR issue? I could be, or I could just describe this story to my friend very near those people and have them overhear it. So I went and told the story to my friend. I was like, oh my gosh, you won't believe what just happened, and made sure that it was, like, overheard by sort of senior management, and, well, he didn't get an offer to come back, so.
Quite rightly so.
Yeah, I think he was also not very good at his job, which made it even easier to not hire him, but.
No, definitely. And speaking of interns, I mean, there's been, like, a recent scandal in, well, I mean scandal, I feel like in the banking industry this is very well known, but it's sort of come to the light of, like, the general public, of how much interns and grads work in terms of hours at Goldman Sachs. It came out, the company was Goldman Sachs, but, like, the ridiculous amount of hours and almost just, like, body-breaking labour. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Like, do you think that's just the way it is, and it's not likely to change soon? Or do you think that this big media story coming out is going to change the way the industry works?
I mean, yeah, obviously to me, like, seeing the thing that came out of Goldman was no shocking thing at all. Everything seemed very, very standard. I don't think it's going to change anything. Like, it's a really competitive industry to get into. And when you're going into it, you know that as a junior, you're going to pay your dues. Like, you know that it's, well, like, I use this, it's like 5 years a slave. But until you get to that sort of VP level, like, you really are trying to prove that you want to be there almost. I'd firstly say that, like, there's a huge distinction between banking and markets on this kind of thing. So, like, in markets, we work to market hours. And yes, as a junior, you should probably be, there is a culture of being first in on the desk and last out. But for me, that means getting in at 5:30 and leaving between 4:30 and 6:30 in the evening, which hours wise is not actually that
bad.
But
I think the intern life is like that in every industry. But from what I read in this Goldman Sachs story, it's excessive. Like, the amount of hours, it's like an hour to 2 hours of sleep every night.
Yeah.
Like 5 days, 6 days a week. And I mean, most interns are the first to be in and the last to leave. But I mean, this is on another level.
Yeah, interns are generally quite well looked after just because, like, they can't have a scandal with an intern. But it's like the juniors, like your grads, your first years in. Like, I spent my first 4 months on a banking desk before I moved into trading. And it was during lockdown, so I was working from home for some of it. I was working in the office for others of it. But, like, there were my last few weeks on the desk, I was working from home, and I slept with my work laptop, and I slept about 2 hours. I would wake up, the first thing I do was log in, and the last thing I do at night was be working for, like, a couple of weeks. And 100-hour weeks are, like, not surprising at all, and it can get so much worse than that. And I think there should be a bit more of a limit in terms of, like, respect. Like, for us, we're meant to have protected weekends. That means that, like, I know that one in every 3 weekends you're not meant to be asked to work at all. But then there's always conditions where it's like, well, if you're on a live deal, then that gets excluded. But you're always working on a live deal. If not, obviously you wouldn't work at that weekend. And they put in these clauses when actually, like, those clauses aren't the exception, they're what is mostly happening. Because if not, why would you be working on, like, a Friday night at midnight? So I definitely think a bit more protection of, like, some of that will hopefully come in. But in trading, I really can't complain. I would never work 100 hours a week in trading. Though I did realise the other weekend, I guess I'm on a grad scheme where we need to get hired at the end of it. We don't automatically roll into a job, so it is a 1-year interview, and managers will tell you, you are being interviewed right now, you should be trying to impress me, type thing. And I realized when everything reopened a couple of Saturdays ago, I got to, like, the evening, I was like, this is the first day I haven't logged into my work laptop and done some work since I started mid-August, and we're in May. And it's just like, even the weekend, when you're not necessarily being asked to do work, there's still pressure to be working.
Well, you better not get on it today, because
I didn't log in all morning. I have definitely no plans to log in this evening, but I am going to have to do some work tomorrow on Sunday. So yeah.
But, like, are you paid when you work on your one weekend?
No, so we don't get paid, like, overtime or anything like that. I'm paid per month.
Okay, and it's regardless of how much you actually work?
It's completely irrelevant how much work I do during that time. Obviously, if I do no work, they'll fire me, but...
Yeah, no. So it's not like hospitality where you're paid?
No, exactly. There's no hourly... There's a couple of, like, perks, I guess, that they throw in. Like, if you're working late, you can, like, expense dinners and taxis home and stuff like that. But there's no actual overtime for working at the weekend. And also, I want to make it clear, I'm never asked to work in the weekend as a trader, but in the guise of, like, I'm trying to interview to, like, get hired at the end of this year, I'm putting in that extra work because I know those hours are going to make a difference. I would rather work a couple of hours on a Sunday than feel really unprepared and stressed on a Monday morning. The same way that if you had an interview on Monday morning, you'd probably spend some time prepping on that Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's just, you're doing that for a year straight, which is, you know, can be tiring.
Yeah, no, definitely. So you're a money gal. working in a bank and everything. I have a little jokes question for you. Okay. It's going to be the PG version. Kiss, marry, avoid.
I'm so excited. This is my favourite game in the world.
Okay.
Snog, marry, avoid, as we call it in England.
Oh yeah, snog. Yeah, way better word than kiss. Anyway, yeah.
It really is.
I love the word snog.
Gross. This is like turning me on.
It's equal part gross.
Oh, the lockdown's been rough for us, guys.
It's equal parts gross and great as a word. Anyway, so...
Bring it on.
Bill Gates...
Recently divorced.
Yeah, he's back on the market, ladies. Jeff Bezos.
Right.
And Elon Musk.
So, we're going to think through this logically.
Okay.
Mary has to be with the one with the most money because I'm going to divorce them and take what's left. That's Bezos right now, I think.
Yes. Oh, no, actually, I think Elon Musk overtook him. Isn't Elon Musk?
I thought he dropped back down.
Okay.
I may be wrong. Okay, well, I'm marrying Jeff. He's already got a divorce, so he probably has a divorce lawyer on hand.
Yeah, but he might be scarred from his wife. She's like one of the richest women in the world now, and he might be scarred from that whole experience, and he's like, I'm not giving another woman all my money.
Look, the marry, there's no prenup in the snog, marry, avoid question.
Okay, fine.
So...
Unrealistic,
we're going,
but fine.
We're going with Bezos for Mary.
Okay.
Then I've got snog and avoid. You know what? No, avoid Bezos. He's
This took a right turn.
I've fully U-turned. You've got to marry Bill because he's actually the good egg above all else. You know, I can work for the foundation, plow all my energy into doing something good for the world.
Yeah, he's a solid guy.
You've got to snog Elon Musk because what a man. Like,
I personally find him really straight. Like,
he's so crazy and chaotic. It's just like, oh, what a story to have.
He would be fun on a night out, I feel.
That's my point. So you've got to snog him on a night out. And Bezos is known for being a bit of a dick, so you want to avoid him.
Fair. You completely changed your answer.
I know. I've really shifted, Key. It's because before I was going to get a divorce, but now I've decided I'm staying married.
Yeah, no, fair. I'm quite shocked that Bill and Melinda are getting divorced, to be honest.
I wore black for 3 days.
They were like the pinnacle of success in this world.
I've really just... Like, I am the biggest fan of Melinda Gates above Bill. I just think, what a hero. Firstly, incredibly successful career in her own right, which isn't noted enough. Mm. She was a big dog at Microsoft and really smashing it. Then, marry rich, just throw it in there. Yeah, really smart. And then, take all that wealth and use it to actually do loads and loads of good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, if that's not a model plan to follow...
Their foundation is honestly incredible.
It is, like, I can only dream of coming anywhere close to what they've achieved with that. It's so inspiring. I've got the first part of my Bill Gates microchip. And I am so happy and I'm so excited to have my second part installed.
Yeah, everyone get the microchip.
Please go and get your microchips when you're called up. It is...
By microchip, we're referring to the vaccine, yes. Just so you know.
We're like, please get your COVID vaccines.
Please.
Yeah, the anti-vax thing is wild. I don't know many people in that camp, so maybe that's why it's so shocking for me to see. It's also, like, big picture. Like, I had obviously nothing, like, blood clot comparative, but I had a very rough 24 hours after getting my first vaccine. 100% still worth it.
Yeah, no, it's just your body reacting to it.
Exactly, but... and like...
And as a young person, it just shows that your immune system's active and healthy.
Which is a shocker for me. Really shocking to know that, like, everything's still working.
Thought my immune system was dead at this point.
I had a health test at work, like, the perks of, like...
Thought I drank it away.
Honestly, the perks of private healthcare are so thorough. My test came out really strong. Everyone was shocked. I told my parents.
They're lying to you, I'm sure.
They're telling me what I want to hear.
So when I started this podcast, you had a lot to say about my pronunciation of the word chivalry.
I think you had a lot of self-consciousness about the way you pronounce chivalry.
I mean, the intro I recorded when I was just starting
the original that won't be on this episode.
Yeah, no, I've redone it now. But let's talk about the question in the intro where I say the famous word chivalry. Is chivalry sexist? The more I say it, the more I'm like,
I don't even want to try and say it because I know that I'm not going to say it right.
The thing is, it sexist? I'm gonna give listeners a definition of the word, not because I don't think people know what it means, but I always think if you're going to debate a word, it's good to like have everything on the table. So the Oxford English Dictionary, as an Oxford girl, I'm gonna give the OG's definition. They say it's the medieval knightly system with its religious, moral, and social code. I'm joking, we're not going to talk about that, guys. It also has another meaning. There is another meaning. Obviously, I'm kidding, we're not going to use that. So, it also means cautious behaviour, especially that of a man towards women. And as we're talking about this, it's important to note that it also says the qualities of an ideal knight include courage, honour, courtesy, justice, and readiness to help the weak. And I feel like the readiness to help the weak is what comes into play when we're talking about chivalry and like whether it's sexist and whether in this day and age it's still a relevant kind of behaviour between men and women. Because I don't know whether, like, I guess maybe them saying in the definition readiness to help the weak, it plays into the fact that men are especially cautious to women because they're considered the weak sex. I don't know, what do you think?
I think it's a really tricky question, to be honest. Like, is chivalry sex? Because at the same time, if someone wants to be treated a certain way, then I don't want to punish someone for treating them in the way they want to be treated.
What do you mean?
In the sense that if you go on a first date and a guy offers to pay.
Yeah, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about actually. Like, do you think,
is that a bad thing? No, I love when a guy offers to pay on a first date. I think that's really nice.
Yeah. But do you think that the guy, like, do you think that the guy should offer to pay? Do you think it's like a duty, or do you think it's like you expect that both of you will split the bill, but if he offers to pay, that's like a nice added bonus, but you're expecting to pay for your half?
I would say I have no issue with paying for my half, obviously.
But like, if you're going on a first date, do you expect him to offer? Like, would you be a bit like, ugh, if he doesn't offer to pay?
I wouldn't be like, ugh. I'd say I'd find it surprising, just because most of the time guys do offer to pay. And let me make it clear, like, they're the ones asking me out on a date. That's why I'm like, if you're asking me out, then I'd have the expectation that, like, maybe you're gonna offer to pay. If I ask someone else out, I wouldn't expect them to then pay for the whole thing ever. So I think that's the way I see it. But I'm also, I don't think it would change my perception of someone. I would just think, like, that's a nice thing for them to do, in the same way that sometimes maybe the day after payday I'll go out for a girlfriend with a drink and I'll be like, let me get this, I'm feeling a bit generous today type thing.
Yeah.
Or I have guy friends that if we go out for a coffee together, they'll offer to pay for it, and I'm like, that's just a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
In the same way that you might see something when you're out and be like, that friend would really like this, let me get it for them.
Yeah.
It's not about thinking of this whole like indebtedness and what it means. It's just, I saw this and I thought it would make you happy to receive it.
I think that also applies, because when people often think about chivalry, I think the whole of like men opening doors for women came in a lot in the debate about sexism. I think, like, not so much now, but when people were starting to talk about this more, like, a few years ago, that was one of the topics. It's like, when men open doors for women, is that sexist? I personally, like, don't think it is, because I think as a human, I, as a woman, open the door for someone else, regardless of whether they're a man or not. Like, I don't care who you are. I just do it to be polite if I'm the one going through the door first.
Yeah.
Or if I'm, like, walking out and the door pulls in, I'll open
it.
Or, like, I'll stand inside and hold the door open for whoever's coming in, just because, like, I think it's a nice thing to do. I don't think it matters. That's my opinion, anyway. I don't think it matters who you're opening the door for.
Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes it's just politeness, or just like just being nice, and it's not always about sex. But then I'm thinking about it and I'm like, I'm imagining at the office we have these automatic doors that you like tap your pass and they open, and guys will always let me go through first.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's actually just nice. Yeah, and I get to my desk quicker.
Of all of the, like,
I just think there's so many issues, and that's just, like, really, why are we focusing on it?
I agree. Like, of all the ways that sexism plays out, I think if someone wants to be chivalrous, I say in, like, quotation marks, then I don't have a problem with it. Because at the end of the day, it means, like, I think the bigger problems with sexism is, like, domestic violence and abuse and,
like, FGM. Like, yeah, let's worry about that first.
Yeah, and being abusive towards women in the streets and all of that. Like, I think that's worse than, if someone wants to be nicer to me, then I'll take it.
Exactly. I think often maybe people think that, like, guys doing that or girls doing that and acting in a way that plays into chivalry, then in the long term consolidates, like, the differences between the sexes type thing. So they're saying, like, oh, well, if guys are always expected to open the door, then no wonder, like, 6 months down the line, they think they're more, like, strong and whatever than you.
So dumb.
But I'm like, the issue is further down. Like, if you think of, in and of itself, the sole act of someone opening a door for someone else, that is not problematic.
No, and also I think we should all do it for each other as human beings. Like, I don't think it matters who you're opening the door for. Yeah, like, exactly. I, as a woman, I'm happy to open a door for, like,
exactly
anyone.
Like, it's fine, and I don't take offense if someone doesn't let me through a door first.
Yeah. So I think in conclusion, we don't think it's sexist, but it is behaving differently to someone because of their sex, and that in and of itself,
I think,
is a bit old school.
I think being nice to other people,
yeah,
is,
it should be a universal,
it should
thing.
Be done regardless of their sex.
Yeah, I agree.
And we need to do more of that and
not
attach it to whether it's a girl or a boy.
Yeah, I think just kindness to humanity all around us.
Exactly.
It's solid. So what do you think is the best and worst thing about being a young person in this day and age?
I think the best thing is probably, and this is a massive generalization, and I know there are loads of exceptions, so don't come at me, is living sort of in a day and age where there is a lot more acceptance towards being who you want to be and being able to define that for yourself. And even if you don't necessarily find that acceptance in your immediate surroundings, i.e. your family or, say, your home friend group, there is somewhere you can find it.
Yeah, there's like a community.
A community for everyone to be who they feel they want to be. And I think that's really great and important and really nice for people to have that freedom to express themselves in whatever way they want and not feel judged for it. And at the same time, I think that the things that give us that, such as like social media and the internet, also give us access to the opposite feelings towards being who we want to be, and like online hate and stuff like that, which is very difficult. And I can't imagine what it's like for certain people to go through having access to so many people that have negative views on what they're doing, even if it's not directed at them personally. I think that's a massive difficulty with being young in these days, and also the being able to see. I think there's that, like, in any era there's always been expectations of young people, but I think for us, being able to go on our phone and see what someone of our age group has like achieved in inverted commas and stuff like that, and comparing yourself, there's a lot. You have access to so many more people, so you have access to so much more comparison versus yourself, that there's a lot of feeling inadequate, or I should be prettier, skinnier, more successful in whatever, and whatever your own natural insecurity might be, there's so much room for that to play out and for you to find things to pivot it on and compare yourself to. But I'd say that is very difficult, and I'm sure every young person in some way, shape or form has compared themselves to someone on the internet and felt worse about themselves because of it.
Yeah. In summary, it's always social media. That's the best and the worst thing.
Yeah. The best is also, but not just in social media, but like the freedoms that governments in many nations now, still many nations you're not allowed to be yourself, but in many, at least here in the UK and like exactly. in the US and like in a lot of European countries, you're allowed to be who you want to be, and there's
and
more
it's
acceptance.
Championed yeah. a lot of.
But social media puts a lot of pressure on you at the same time.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for featuring on this episode. It's been really interesting to get your kind of insights on like banking as a woman, and also the random conversations we've had about other stuff as well, including which of the richest men in the world you'd rather date.
Did we not cut that part? No, we didn't. That's staying. Yeah, I'm glad that's in there.
Keeping the good bits.
Yeah, so
and also the
Bill or Elon, if you're listening. And to be honest, Jeff, even you, if you are listening to this.
They're definitely not.
You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.
Thank you for that. Shameless promotion, honestly.
It's at the Met Police.
Can you stop? What? Okay, I really don't get the username. You think you're so funny.
I do.
Oh my God, enough. Okay, well, it's been amazing
it's
to have you.
It's time for me to leave.
It's time for you to go. Amazing to have you. And guys, yeah, follow 20s Questions on iTunes, Spotify, and on my website, franthropology.com, to get all your episodes and your...
Such a shameless self-promotion right there.
It's my podcast. I'm allowed to promote my own podcast.
My title.
She's making this all about her, classic. Right, thanks lads. I'm off. We're off.
Over and out.
The two Francescas. Over and out.
I'll be back.
Oh God.